Hurkun go ku trap sons trap sons trap sons trap sons trap don't sons trap Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дур булаа Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am here with Shang, my man. We got Tyler Smith in the house. We got Wing Dog. My kid is sleeping, which is why it was like, no, before. I have to just, as soon as she falls asleep, I'm like, let's go.
Do it. No, I can relate.
We got Nick Newell coming on the show today.
Oh, nice. I don't
know who Nick Newell is. Nick Newell is a fighter born with one arm, Shang.
And
now he's in Bellator. He lost his last fight. I thought he actually won that fight. It was pretty close. He went. He's got a record of 15-3, which is insane. He won over 400 college and wrestling matches in high school, which is also. He's a badass. He's a real badass. So I'm happy. I'm really happy to have him. And he's got a good sense of humor. He's always telling me to roast him, which is funny because like he's like, when are you gonna make fun of me? You know, so I make a bunch of one arm jokes, and then people get mad. They're like, you're picking on a guy with one arm. But, like, he's the one.
The one-armed guy to kick your ass. That's what.
Exactly.
Number one, he's, like, asking you to roast him. It's never the person that you make fun of that gets mad. It's always the person on behalf of other people.
Right.
I want to speak on behalf of all people with one arms, which is annoying. By the way, I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California. Get it delivered right to you. Don't wait. Just get it right to you. Go to speedweed.com. Don't go to the dispensary right now. Just stay inside. And if you're going to go outside, get some fresh air and get some weed delivered right to you. Shang, do you live in like a cult? There's always like half naked women behind you.
I don't live in a cult. They are right there. They don't they have a short attention span.
But this is your house?
We live here, all of us. Like, about 13 of us.
How many are
there? Hell yeah.
I'm kidding.
Fuck it, dude. I live in a house with 13 people.
No, it's not 13 people. No.
Shang's sort of like the weirdest. Like, you're like, I like know you so well, and then I don't know you. There's like.
No. It's not, yeah. They're not half naked people. They're a couple.
Yeah.
And do you know Sandy Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sandy Brown and. Amory and David.
They all live there?
Yeah.
Okay, in your house?
Yeah, where I
okay, all right.
Played this game before. I was living by myself before. I'm not for a long time.
And by the way, that beautiful woman behind you is Amory Lee. You can follow her on Instagram. She's got hundreds of thousands of followers. She's always twerking. And that's her boyfriend, David Del Rosario, another funny comic. So listen, I'm excited about Saturday.
Are you?
Yes. Are you kidding me? I normally do shows on Saturday, Zoom shows, and I'm like, fuck, I'm moving mine to Friday. I'm excited to watch fights again. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, do you think that it's going to have the same – I'm going to absolutely watch it, but I'm saying, do you think it has the same kind of vibe? Because I watched the one down in Brazil, and it's so weird. It was just a big empty place, and they're just going at it. So you don't have anybody to cheer you on when you are kicking somebody's ass, when you're knocking somebody's eye through their asshole.
I mean, honestly, like, that Brazil card was good, but they stacked this card. You know, there's so many bangers on this card. When you have Anthony Pettis versus Donald Cerrone on the undercard, when that's on the undercard,
two monsters. I still think Pettis still got that fire. I think Cowboy is starting to come to the end of his.
They both are. I mean, they both are. And I think they're both acknowledging it too, which sometimes is what makes for the best fights. When two guys know that they don't have that much left in them, it's sometimes when they're just like.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
At the same time, it's like what scares me a little bit was when he said Cowboy didn't show up. Donald Cerrone showed up. And I'm like, actually, nobody showed up for that fight. So, because Donald Cerrone and Cowboy could fuck people up. But by the way, so they're saying, so Dana White said today that he thinks he's trying to make Usman versus Masvidal. But if that doesn't happen, he's not ruling out Conor McGregor versus Masvidal. Which
that's crazy.
I mean, just the talk, the shit talking alone for that fight.
Right.
I think. I think, because sometimes, like, you think, like, I thought it was going to be Cerrone versus McGregor, was going to be a lot of shit talking. There was none. But it just seems like.
There's never shit talking with Donald Cerrone, dude.
Donald Cerrone is just.
Cerrone is like, if Cerrone can't be your buddy before the fight, that fucks him up. Like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're not getting.
But, I mean, which fight do you think will be better if they choose? I think it should be Usman, honestly. I really do think it should be Usman.
Yeah. 100%. I think Masvidal
and Usman
deserves the shot for sure.
Absolutely.
So give it to him. There's no point in having Conor fight Masvidal right now.
No, man. But what's going to be the more exciting fight, though?
Oh, Conor, Masvidal.
No. Todd, come on, Todd. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. More exciting?
No, man.
Okay, so Kamaru Usman is exciting to you, sir?
He can bang. What are you talking about?
He can't. The only
Tyron Woodley fight, he showed his wrestling was off the fucking charts. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but it's not exciting. Dude, he beat the shit out of Tyron Woodley, and it was the most boring thing I've ever seen.
I got to agree with my man right here. Shang, look, I love Usman as a fighter. He's a great fighter. Yeah. But there have been many fights at the end where he's been booed by the crowd. Whether it be Maya.
All of his fights?
Don't get me wrong. Kamaru Usman as a fighter, as a complete fighter, is fucking phenomenal.
Whereas Conor McGregor has never been in a boring fight. Even fights he's lost with Khabib, he's never once – you've never seen a McGregor fight and be like, well, that sucked.
That's true. And when he fought Diaz the first time, even though he lost, I got to give it – because I was rooting for Conor to win that one. And but when he lost, it was still exciting the way
he lost. Honestly, I think what happened there was he hit Nate once or twice and was like, wait a minute. You're supposed to call it out.
I was at both of those fights. And I was also mad because I bet. I had like a 19-fight parlay on that fight. And like the first one lost, and I had 18 in a row hit. And I'm just beating myself up for fucking betting on it. I think it was like Chaz Skelly or something. But even though I think what happened that fight, honestly, is that McGregor was fighting at 45 and 55, but he was making 45 at one point. And Nate Diaz doesn't look that big on TV. I think maybe his body type. But when you stand next to Nate Diaz, he's a fucking tall. He must walk around at like 210. 205
minimum. I'm not even San Jose.
So I think when he walked into that fight, McGregor against Nate Diaz, and he was like, "Oh shit, this is a big dude. Like this isn't this is not Jose Aldo, who you know, or this is not Chad Mendez, you know, who I'm physically just bigger than. You know, this guy is. So I think that also fucked him up a little bit too."
But you know what? I think that Diaz, towards the end of the fight, even towards the end of the fight where Conor won, I don't know, Diaz started like, tagging him, man, and had him against
That was the second fight. I think he came into the second fight with a whole different game plan.
Conor's head looked like it was on a bobble swivel. He was fucking him up.
Dude, he dropped him three times in the first round. I mean, who drops Nate Diaz three times in the first round?
And then again in the second round.
But the first round, he almost finished him. And Nate was like, you couldn't finish me. Well, like, when a guy's saying, you couldn't finish me, and that's not a good sign.
Right. Like, but the first fight, I swear to God, Diaz, man, he's like Frankenstein. He was bloody, cut, and he just kept coming at him, and he was tagging him. And then when he got him on the ground, it was a wrap.
Dude, when I was at that fight with Jay Haran and Mike Pyle, and Pyle was like playing the flute and drunk, and Jay Haran was like, I can't believe this fucking guy could fight. Like but that fight also, that wasn't even the main event. The main event was Holly Holm versus Miesha Tate.
Yeah.
And that was when Miesha Tate came back and beat Holly Holm.
I was
so proud of her because there's a girl that her whole life has been second best. You know, it was like Ronda Rousey, Miesha Tate. Her whole life was defined by the girl who lost to Ronda Rousey, you know? And for her to win, I was just so happy for her.
You know? I like Holly Holm, though. I like Holly Holm a lot, but I was happy she won, But I was like, damn, I really like Holly Holm. You ever have fighters that you like both? Like when the baddest motherfucker belt, I was like, I like both these dudes. I like Masvidal a little bit better, though. Because that motherfucker's a killer. He just, the way he talks is like, no, you know why I like him more? Because he's like, he's backed up everything he said. He's got the fastest knockout in UFC history, dude.
I almost started crying when that happened, bro. I was so upset. But I did a podcast in Vegas. It was me, Colby Covington, Kevin Lee, and Dean Thomas all came to my hotel room in Vegas to a podcast, right?
Oh, cool.
And they thought they were going to like ESPN. It was like in my hotel room in this fucking rag attack. And Colby brought Masvidal, who just like got stoned in the corner the whole time. He didn't want to be on the show, but he was the nicest fucking dude. Most polite, nicest.
Really?
Like, just a cool, like, gave me a hug at the end. Like, great show, man. Like, he's like, this is awesome. I thought this was good. He was so happy it wasn't ESPN. He's like, this is fucking great. I could just smoke pot in the corner. Like, he's fucking awesome. You know? So
he's a serious dude, man. When you get like every fight I've seen him in, I just feel like people don't realize that motherfucker, man, his closing in the distance, like he's helper, and he closes distance so fast, like pow, he's on you.
Yeah. You ever see his Kimbo fights?
Oh, yeah. I watched him on YouTube. That motherfucker could go. In the backyard fights, you mean?
No, but that Masvidal was one of the dudes. Masvidal was one of Kimbo's guys.
I didn't realize it was him. And I was like, oh, shit. He had really had a hair in his face. I was like, oh, shit. That's Masvidal.
Dude, you ever see the Toby Amata fight with Masvidal?
No.
There was a fight in Bellator. I wish I could. I could probably share the screen. My wife said there's a way that I can do this.
Yeah, it's there's a
right button. In the bottom, right in the middle, right in the middle right of the bottom says share screen.
Yeah, but how do I put a video up? Like a YouTube video.
You have to just be playing it on your computer.
Yeah, and then hit share screen.
All right, so this
and then go to the
let me see if this works. Dude, there was this Toby Amata, this is a Bellator fight, and he was beating the shit Masvidal was beating up Amata just bad. And Toby Amata had one of the baddest chokes I've ever seen. Masvidal Amata.
Oh yeah, that one. Yes.
And here's the highlights. How do I do it? Go.
Hit share screen at the bottom of the Zoom window.
Yeah, share. Open. What do I zoom?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to quit something.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we'll do it later then. Anyway, look up Toby Amata versus Masvidal.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like a reverse triangle or something.
He had him in the air.
Yeah.
Shit out of him, and the dude put like
he just like threw a triangle up. Yeah. While Masvidal's holding him, and he just fucking squeezed.
Masvidal went to sleep. But you know what's crazy is that I was watching that with Joey Varner. Me and Joey Varner, who used to be he's a great guy. We wrote a lot of the sketches for MMA Awards together, and he's a real funny guy. He used to work for WSOF. He's
trained.
He trained a bunch. And he was like, dude, Masvidal is the next big thing based on that loss. And I was like he told me that 10 years ago. He goes, the
really?
Way he was striking, and I was like, really? But didn't he just get choked out? And he goes, trust me, this guy's an expert thing. That's when you know a guy knows MMA.
Yeah.
When they see a guy lose, and then they could still – like, I remember when Brock Lesnar lost to Frank Mir in, like, a minute. Remember he lost by heel
or
whatever?
But it was – Frank Mir was doing a dirty shit because he tapped, and he kept cranking it.
Yeah, you're right.
It made me not like Frank Mir. It made me go, you asshole.
Hey, no, you crank till the ref pulls you off, bro.
But he tapped.
It doesn't matter. Dude, okay, so you tap like this. Ref doesn't see it. I let go. Fight continues because the ref was like, I didn't see a tap.
Okay, yeah, it was more of a Mazzagatti thing than a Mir thing. Mazzagatti. No, I'm serious. Like,
boom!
No, there was a video when Brock Lesnar watching that going, fucking Steve Mazzagatti. And then he came and he just punched the door and like broke the door in his own house during one of the countdown specials.
But, yeah, because it is Steve Mazaga. Like, if you see a dude wrenching on the guy's knee and he starts tapping, your job is to hop right on there and pull it off. Otherwise, that guy's leg's getting ripped.
But like, my point was that Dana White, I think in an interview, said Rampage was sitting next to him in that fight and said that guy's going to be champ one day, that big white dude, even though he lost in like a minute and a half.
Really?
You know? It was also a weird stand-up, too. Like, Brock was on top of him, and they stood him up. But it's when you could see somebody lose and go, that guy's going to be really good one day. That's when I think you kind of have a good eye for knowing what fighting is. You know, like when I first...
You can recognize, like he got beat versus maybe he made a mistake and got caught.
Well, it was like Max Holloway versus Poirier.
Or inexperience and got...
Max Holloway versus Poirier. Remember when Max Holloway came out? And Rogan was like, ooh, this guy's going to be the future, even though Poirier beat him quickly. It was sort of the same thing with the Kevin Lee, Al Iaquinta. Like, Kevin Lee came out, lost to Al, but they were like, whoa, this kid's going to be good.
Yeah.
This happens all the time, you know, especially in the UFC when you get, like, your first fight against Al Iaquinta.
I think that it was more that than anything. And I still thought he still showed that he could still hang in there.
Yeah.
But I still think that even though he said he's taking a long break, Kevin Lee is no joke. You know, that motherfucker.
Well, now he's saying 6 months.
No, he said it was going to take a break for a
while. Yeah, but now he changed it.
Yeah.
Oh, he changed it
now. 6 months. I'll be fine.
Don't ever listen to it. Well, he had ACL surgery. He's saying, don't ever listen to a guy after he loses like that week, because there's got to be so many emotions going on. And, like,
You're right.
It's like when I used to say I love you after blowjobs to girls. You know how many times I said I love you, and then I'm like, why the fuck did I say that? Like,
I didn't mean that. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
that was my dick talk.
I was going to ask you guys, since I knew he was doing the show today, I was watching the countdown. Who do you think – I think they were wrong. Who do you think is the best wrestler in MMA, has the best wrestling? And I personally have two people tied.
Best wrestler today or of all time?
Of all MMA or in the UFC?
In the UFC.
You got to go Cejudo. He won the gold medal.
UFC, Henry Cejudo.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
That kind of goes without saying, though, because that's like, okay, he's an Olympic gold medalist. He's obviously the best wrestler in the UFC.
But the best wrestler for MMA is probably Khabib. You know?
Wow.
Well, Yoel Romero.
Yeah, but he doesn't use his wrestling anymore. You know,
but he's still a great wrestler.
I would say... I mean, Khabib, because Khabib's wrestling isn't like, it's not like freestyle wrestling. So,
right, it's grappling.
So you don't think of it as like wrestling. It's more of like Sambo Jiu-Jitsu wrestling, fucking Khabib smash. That's Khabib grappling. That's
I talked to Kyle Crutchmer, who was like a three-time All-American, and he trains with Khabib. And I said, how would Khabib do, let's say NCAAs were tomorrow? And yeah. he probably plays top eight, Division One, which is amazing, right? But there's Division One champions in wrestling right now. I mean, you got guys like Phil Davis who won the NCAAs, or Gregor Gillespie won the NCAAs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's how effective is your MMA wrestling? Like, I mean, GSP wouldn't have won the NCAAs with just a double leg.
Right,
because
right.
He didn't know other things or didn't use them, but you don't need to. It's kind of like with jiu-jitsu. It's like, I mean, there's super high level guys probably that can do like electric chairs and vaporizers and all kinds of shit. But it's the rear naked chokes and the arm triangles that probably are going to be the most effective. You know.
Well, how come you guys didn't even mention Cormier?
DC? I was going to say Cormier.
I don't even think of DC as being in the UFC anymore.
I'm not, yeah, well, like, he still is.
I know he still is. But I feel like he's just like this thing's going to be over, and he's going to be like.
No, he actually says, today he said, I read the article today, he's waiting for Stipe to sign the contract. He said, what are you waiting for? And he says he regrets that loss the most because he says he's better than Stipe. He goes, John Jones is better than him, but he's better than Stipe. That being said, it's like, look. Anybody will tell you, it doesn't matter who the better fighter is, who's better that night.
Right.
I agree. Adam, you're absolutely right.
But if you know you're better than someone and they were better that night, then that pisses you off even more.
Of course, and it's
like, I know I could kick this dude's ass 6 ways to Sunday, but Sunday came and he beat my ass. Like, well then, fuck. What? Like, what am I doing? You know, like, you
also didn't listen to his corner in that fight. They were saying wrestling. He wanted to knock him out. I think it was ego driven.
Right. It was definitely ego driven because if you look at the fight, the second fight, he was winning. He was winning up to the point where he got just fucking clocked. Body, I mean, he mollywopped him at the end. But at the same time, I think Cormier in the first fight, I didn't see that coming that way. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I don't think anybody saw
it. I mean, Stipe just crumbled. He crumbled like there was somebody underneath the mat and just grabbed his legs.
Pulled him back.
Because he hit him, and then they showed a replay. You see Stipe's head literally look like it expanded for a second. And just done.
That happens a lot, though, when you don't expect the guy to have that kind of power. I think the second fight, Stipe was like, oh, shit, this guy can crack. Yeah. The first fight, he was he's basically a 205-pounder. He's 3 feet smaller than you. he looks like fat and out of shape. Stipe is probably going, come on, I spar heavyweights, like boxers. Like, what is this guy going to do? I mean, at one point, Stipe was calling out, like, Klitschko. And he was calling out, you know, Tyson Fury. And Stipe was like, imagine what those guys would do to him in a boxing match. Yeah, because here's the thing, Shang, these MMA fighters are calling out boxers because, number one, they're going to get $25 million as opposed to $500,000.
$25,000, yeah.
And number two, if they lose, it's like, yeah, I lost a boxing match. Like, who gives a fuck? It's not like I know that I would beat him in a real fight. So it's really
weird. I mean, no, everybody saw when Conor fought Mayweather and thought, look how much money he made. and he didn't really get beat up. I mean, towards the end, he was getting his head rocked. I mean, Conor was getting his head rocked, but he actually did pretty well.
Yeah.
But, I watched that fight in China. I was in China and I watched it at noon because it was like a day later.
Are you serious?
It was Sunday at noon. I was in a bar. And I was like floored with how good Conor. I had him winning like the first 4 to 5 rounds.
First 3 rounds, but then Floyd started walking him down.
Yeah, I mean, he won the first 3 rounds because Floyd didn't fight the first 3 rounds and just watched him and was like, okay.
Well, boxers will say that Floyd carried everyone. People that know boxing will say Floyd carried him, but I don't know. And then
you know what Floyd said? Floyd gave him all these props. But he said, I knew from watching him in MMA that he couldn't, after third, fourth round, he fades. He said, that's when he started turning it up. And if you watch the fight, Floyd started turning it up on the fourth. He started rocking him. And then you saw Conor start just falling back and just his head going back, I thought Floyd's going to eventually either knock him out.
There's no point in getting in a fist fight with him when he can beat you in a fist fight. Like, if you're going to sit there and stand toe-to-toe with him in the first 3 rounds, there's a chance that he's going to catch you.
Right.
But there's also a rumor that,
I can play defense, not get hit, know every pickup, every single pattern Connor's going to do, every combination he's going to throw. It's the same thing over and over. I got his plan A, B, and C. He doesn't have a plan D, and I got D, E, and F.
There's also a rumor he tried to put, like, $10 million on himself winning in the 9th round the night before or something. So,
but you know what? I hate when people say, oh, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, fuck it, man. If you feel you're that cocky and that confident, Floyd has done that. Floyd had, when he fought Cotto, he said, Cotto can bang. But he wanted to prove a point that he could stay in there with somebody like that. Floyd's, defense wise, honestly, I don't know any MMA fighter if Floyd, a younger Floyd, because you got to think Floyd's 42.
Right.
A young Floyd, when Floyd used to bang.
Floyd used to knock people out.
He used to knock people out consistently.
All the time.
I think a lot of boxers, a lot of boxers would really, if they went against a top MMA guy, I don't think they would last that long if they really went on them.
Oh, who? The MMA guy wouldn't?
I think the MMA guy would get mopped.
Of course. In boxing.
Oh, in boxing.
In boxing. But the money, come on, man.
Dude, but when I opened up for Michael Blackson, Floyd was in the crowd, and he had a girl giving him a head massage for an hour, and then two girls on each side. Like, that was his arm. Like, the girl's whole job was to give him some hot chick, was to put her tits on his neck and massage his head.
That's a good life. That's a good life.
Like,
but I wouldn't be complaining.
Oh. You said you wouldn't be complaining.
I wouldn't complain about that. Yeah.
Oh my god.
No. All right, that sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. Like, but like MMA fighter that wise, I was watching because the fight pass. I love fight pass. By the way, I text Adam and told him I just love it because you can really go back and see fights that were like awesome, ridiculously awesome. And I watch the people who can box, like George St. Pierre. That motherfucker's jab is legit as shit.
Yeah. This whole game.
Yep. Like GSP, arguably, to me, still, even though he's out of the game and everybody says whatever, man, if you watch, man, his wrestling was, he would always fucking take people down and just, he is one of the best, period. I still give it to, even though he's being an idiot towards the end, I still give it to Anderson Silva because some of the shit he did was fucking mutant shit. Like uppercut elbows and then fucking knee you and then get you in a fucking, you know, plum fucking lock and just mush.
What he did to Rich Franklin, I went back and watched the first one like last week or 2 weeks ago, and people forget how dominant Rich Franklin was. Like, Rich Franklin was beating the shit out of people. And Anderson Silva went in there and made him look like he didn't know how to fight.
I know, but that like, that first Chael Silva fight was the most upsetting fight. Because Chael said he was going to do it, and he got into his head. He's beating up school teachers. He called Rich Franklin like a math teacher. He's beating up a bunch of math teachers, this and that. And then he beat the shit out of him for 4.5 rounds.
Four rounds and 50 seconds, dude.
Like, if he just would have ran that last round, if he would have just not engaged.
But his ego, no, you know what it was? It was his ego. He was winning the fight. But also, Anderson Silva said, there's a documentary showing.
I know what he said, but that's bullshit.
But he did exactly.
He wasn't planning on letting the guy beat him up for 4 rounds so he could choke
him. No, he wasn't planning on letting him beat him up for 4 rounds. But the move he said he's going to use, he used. Yeah. And not only did he use it, while he was using it, he was caving his fucking forehead in with elbows.
I know. I just wish the Chael would have not gone to the ground.
Chael's ego, are you kidding? Chael's ego was going to let him...
It wasn't ego. It was
ego. He should have ran.
Well, it wasn't even that. Like, so for the jiu-jitsu people, watching that triangle, him set up that triangle, like a minute before he throws his legs over his shoulders, you're like, Chael, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Like, all he needed to do was this.
Posture up.
Just keep your back straight and throw punches. He literally had his head like laying on him. Pushes his hand in and is like, oh, what does he do? Oh, maybe. I'm in a triangle. Fuck.
Like, for some reason, like, I don't equate it to what Cormier did with Stipe because I think Cormier knocked him out the first time and was like, I'm going to knock him out again. I think with Chael, it was what I was doing for 4 rounds was working. So why not do it the 5th round? Yeah. I don't think it's ego. It's just like, look, if I'm doing something that works for 4.5 rounds, why do I think that it's not going to work the 5th round? Now, maybe his corner could have said, Chael, the 5th round, his only shot is to knock you out or submit you. So just, let's just fucking, and have like a word for it. Like, I know, like, when we're coaching, if a guy's on his back, if I say flee the mat, the ref will take a point because you can't flee the mat from your back. But you don't want to get pinned. So what I do is I say, who has a girlfriend? And the kids raise their hand. I go, what's your girlfriend's name? The kid, one year it was Takira. I go, when I yell out Takira, it means flee the mat, right? And I remember one time I go, who has a girlfriend? And the guy goes, we're virgins for life. And dabbed, which was another whole thing. But if Chael's corner would have said, look, man, here's the code word for
virgin don't engage, life.
You know, then he would have won. I think maybe that was the corner's, I mean, if you're a jiu-jitsu guy, Tyler, and you're seeing that, Right. Shouldn't the coach have sort of...
I'm yelling at him to stick his knee in his butt and stay postured up and just sit there. Or stand up, like at that point.
But you can't say, no, Tyler, he was throwing
his legs.
But he was elbowing him in the fucking face, dude. It wasn't like he was just setting it up. And jiu-jitsu, everybody he was watching going, he's about to get caught. But he was elbowing him in the face, so it was like...
Exactly, but his guard wasn't closed either. So his guard wasn't closed around his back. And you're getting elbowed in the face. So fucking stand up. Like, what do you do?
But because that's what Adam said. He said, this has been working. I got him.
Yeah.
And you can never do that with somebody at a level of Anderson Silva. That was
fucking stupid. A blue belt. What should he have done?
Correct.
Me?
Yeah.
I think he should have just picked Anderson up, slammed him on the ground, and win the fucking fight. I'm trying to pull it up right now.
My first day of jiu-jitsu, my first day, I had just only watched MMA, and some kid put a triangle on me. So I picked him up and slammed him.
Dude, that was my move.
Dude, like they blew the whistle. They were like, you can't do that. I go, but I saw this huge black guy on TV do that to him.
I disagree with that rule completely. I understand, like, in competition why you're not allowed to pick people up and slam them. But if we're really trying to teach people jiu-jitsu and you can't avoid being picked up and slammed if you have a triangle on, like, you're wrong. You fucked up.
Yeah, but in MMA, I've always wondered, why can't you spike people in MMA?
You break their neck.
You break their neck, Adam, that's why. What kind of fucking
like on their fucking on their head? Yeah, you break their neck.
When Rampage Jackson did that in Pride, I thought dude was dead.
No, but you can do that. You can do that in MMA.
Yeah, that's legal.
That's legal. You just
can't
spike them straight down.
No, you can't spike them straight down.
Yeah.
I know, but there. Look, you could break someone's neck by fucking by rear naked choke. You could break someone's neck.
It's a little different when you do it that way. I mean,
it's almost like the.
Adam doesn't give a fuck. Why
like
a
defenseless,
I
like defenseless receiver.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Where it's like, okay, he can't do anything. You already have the guy up in the air. He literally can't defend himself now. So if you choose to turn him onto his head and throw him on his head, that's fucked up. Because you're getting the takedown.
You already got the takedown. Adam's like, I got the takedown. Why can't I break his neck? What's wrong with that?
I want to kill him.
The new bare knuckle boxing. It'll just
no.
Be
I'm just. I was just no. I didn't realize that you could break their neck. I've never done it to someone. I've never seen it. I've always thought that like it was an effective way to get people off you. So I was wondering. I didn't realize you could actually break someone's neck. I've never seen anyone's neck get broken that way. But that makes sense why you can't. It just seems like you can break their neck by spiking them down too, by slamming them down also. Can't you?
Well, yeah. But
it's
a different angle. It's head.
What you don't want straight. Is the head to come down this way. Your head can go back this way all day. Like you'll be fucked up, but you're not gonna break anything. If your chin goes to your chest and you get pressured that way, it's done. Like right. You're done.
And the best
like what like Crazy Horse did, right? And I wish that I could have the share meeting thing. But like remember when Crazy Horse picked up that guy? And just started like spinning him around like a child.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like a child. Hey there.
He picked the guy up and just started twirling him until his head hit the side of the fence, right?
Yeah.
Is that legal in UFC?
Apparently.
But no, I'm saying
that was in King of the Cage. It wasn't in UFC. He did that in King of the Cage.
The two best slams, three best slams, guy out of Oklahoma that you had he's out of Oklahoma. What is his name? He's a comedian.
Oh, Gerald Harris.
Gerald Harris had one of the best slams I've ever seen.
Oh, 1,000%. He did it to like eight different people. He just kept doing that fucking slam.
Say, Gerald, I got to give it to Rampage. That shit, that highlight. Tyler, you seen that? That highlight was God.
That was like my whole MMA game for the first 6 months I trained. It was like, I'm going to let people get me in a triangle and just fucking pick them up.
How did that work out for you?
It worked out great. Well, that's when I was fucking struck. Like, I was deadlifting, like, 500 pounds. So, like, you put me in a triangle and you're going up. Like, you're coming
period.
Up.
Right.
Yeah, period. Doesn't matter right. Who you are.
But I say Rampage and Tito Ortiz, even though I think that he's up there, too, when he was at his peak.
Oh yeah,
that motherfucker.
That's a master.
That is a strong motherfucker, right?
I think he's underrated because of his, you know, personality.
His antics.
Sometimes. But yeah, there was never an easy fight. Anyone fighting Tito was always in for a fucking fight.
Oh yeah,
always in for a fight. Nick Newell, we were here with Nick Newell. How's it going, man? How are you doing?
What's up, man?
Nick's one of my favorite fighters, good guy, signed a 4-fight Bellator contract. You were getting into fights on Instagram recently or Facebook. What happened? I just saw your post saying you're not going to engage with people on Facebook anymore. Why was everyone getting mad at you? You were trying to open your gym?
No, I just posted something. I was like, hey, man, it'd be nice if, like, I could, if they could come up with a plan where I can open up my gym and the people that don't feel safe can stay home and still collect unemployment, but the business owners can operate. And everyone was like, oh, you want to kill old people? And I was like, no, I said, I can save
them. Wait a minute. They said, how did they make that leap? Yeah, you want to kill old people.
Someone was like, if the economy opens, then I have to go back to work and I could die from coronavirus. And I was like, well, I basically said that there should be a plan where you don't have to go back to work if you don't feel safe. You know, I have a wife that's pregnant and I have grandparents that I love. Like, I don't want anyone to get it. It's just, I was like, oh, just
getting frustrated. That was like a very rational reason and thing to say. I mean, why would anyone get mad at that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, it's America. Let's exercise some personal responsibility and decision making. And if you want
to
go back to work.
No, is that your gym right there?
Like, I train with people, and if you feel sick, then stay home.
Right, exactly. No, is that your
rocket surgery, man?
Now is that your gym you're at right now?
Yeah,
that's a great gym.
Holy, it's like a Costco.
Like, wow. So this is Nick Newell's gym in Connecticut.
Yeah, it's called Fighting Arts Academy CT. Fighting Arts Academy is my gym that I trained at. It's in Springfield, Mass. But mine's in Milford, Connecticut, my hometown. So I have like 20 bags, and then it's like 6,000 square feet. I have a competition size cage. I have a lot of it.
Wow, good for you, man. Now, I thought, like, you retired. I think you retired more than Jay-Z.
No, I retired once.
You keep retiring, but then you come out of that retirement and then beat everyone up. So that's you're not retired, right? Your last fight, by the way, I thought you got robbed. I thought you won the first round. Second round was close, but you won it. Third round, you didn't win. But you look a little tired. What happened?
Well, here's the thing. In this, I take my own responsibility for. I was moving into this facility at the time. So I had another gym, but I was building this gym during the day. So I would go train people, and then work on this gym, building this gym to save money myself, and then go training. I wasn't getting anything out of my training sessions. I was going through the motions. I wasn't pushing. I wasn't driven. I wasn't excited. I just did it because I wanted money so I could, like, pay for this gym. But it was stupid. It was dumb. I learned a lesson. Even though I've been doing this for, like, 10 years, it was not a smart decision because I was burnt out because I did 3 fights in 5 months. Like, that's crazy.
And you got a baby. And you got a brand-new baby.
So I was, like, riding the momentum of my last win, and I wanted to enjoy it. And I was like, no, I could tough it up. I can do this fight. I can do it. And I told myself, but my heart wasn't into it. I worked so hard to get to Bellator and get that win. And I won that win, and I was still riding that high. And I couldn't get motivated for it. And it's my own fault, and I learned a lesson.
Well, I still think you won, though, for real.
I thought I won, too. I mean, I didn't get hit at all the whole fight until 10 seconds left. From back, he hit me with one punch. It's the only time I got hit the whole fight. I was just more tired than him. And he took this way more serious and came in super motivated. And I mean, it's my own fault. So, like, I'm going to take responsibility for that. Even though I thought I won, I'm not going to, like, complain about it. He wanted it more that day. And I learned a lesson. And now that's never going to – I'm never going to let that happen again.
Well, your guillotine is amazing. So, Shang, obviously, I don't know if you know, so Nick Newell is the only fighter ever to have one arm and just be fucking everybody up. But your guillotine is so tight, and you finished off almost everybody with that guillotine. He was able to survive it. Did that kind of fuck with you a little bit?
No. I just, to be honest with you, I was just mentally out of it, and I had just fought. This was my third fight in 5 months, and some people could do that. But with a kid at home and a new business, I just had too much. I had too many irons in the stove, and I had too much shit going on. And I, you know, after that, I stopped. I did fasting thing. My legs got tired. I bought exercise bikes and like come up with a system on how to, I train now to get my legs super conditioned. I switched some things up with my training and I hired people to teach classes at my gym. So I wasn't teaching classes and training and doing all this. I lessened my workload so I could focus more on my fight career. And I have to live with this my whole life. So I'm obviously very upset about it. But okay. I changed the things that I needed to change and did the things I needed to do. And I was completely ready and super motivated to win my fight on March 13th. And it got canceled the day of.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. Do you think that people say sometimes losing, we were just talking about it, losing made you realize you got to put things in categories and perspective and your motivation. Like I got to focus and motivate on that period when you're doing it. So you had to put other stuff aside, because sometimes yeah. You have too much shit going on. I think when you have too much shit going on, it fucks you up on the focus you have to do.
Yeah. My business was doing like really good. And I had all these people coming in and I was trying to sign people up. Like, hey, you should sign up. You should do this. Like, oh man. And I was like missing part of class because I was like signing people up and they were like, so in this class, do you like, and it's like that questions, but like, I'm really like taking the time and I'm like, no, I need to be a fighter. Yeah. You know? So this class fight, someone was like, hey, I said, just come in tomorrow early if you want to sign up. Like I'm going to beat this man's ass. And it changed. Something changed in me. And you know, my problem was I was just too content. And I feel like I'm making excuses, so I don't really want to talk about it too much. But everything that happens to you, you deserve that, because you make these things. But I'll never question my motivation again, and I'll never take a fight if I don't want to.
Look at that. Well, listen, man. I mean, I was looking at some of your old fights last night. I was like so happy because I hate talking to people and not like freshening up on people. But
yeah,
the fact that you went to high school wrestling as a freshman, lost 17 matches in a row. You started off 0-17, and then you won 400 matches in high school and college, which is fucking amazing, dude. Like, this one little setback of a split decision loss, which you really didn't lose. If you look at the bigger picture, Nick, I mean, damn.
Yeah, I mean, accomplishment. The thing is, I got back to my roots and I started wrestling more, too. Because it was like, oh, I'm a good wrestler. I don't need that. I'm going to out-wrestle this guy easy. And then I start doing striking all the time and jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And you kind of get away. And I just kind of got back to that balance. But I overall, like between off-season, season, and college and everything, yeah, I've won a lot of matches. I ended up being All-State my senior year. Captained my college team twice. And when I fight, I mean, look at any of my fights. And watch the striking, and I win the striking in all the fights except for Gagey beat me, but I got him too in the fight. I hurt him a couple times. So I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah. By the way, who do you have this week? Because I know that you fought Justin Gagey. Who do you think wins, Gagey or Ferguson?
That's a tough one. I feel like Ferguson actually has more tools to win and more weapons, but Gagey, I think, hits a little bit harder. And, like, Tony won't be able to break him mentally. So, like, Tony got in there with Pettis, who's a phenomenal, amazing fighter. But he broke him in that fight. Pettis hurt him. Tony didn't go down. And then he got back up, and Pettis was like, what the hell? You know? And he's not going to be able to do that with Gagey. You could – the whole time I was like, you look Gagey right in the eye. I'm like, man, I'm going to beat you. I'm like, I'm going to beat your ass. He's like, hey, man, someone's going to do it someday. He's not afraid to lose. He comes to win, and he's not afraid to lose. And there's not many people built like him, you know. And Tony's just a different animal, too. So you have two of the guys with the biggest hearts in there fighting each other, two guys that are never going to give up. One has more tools, but I think Justin has more power. And Tony's better at jiu-jitsu, but I think Justin's a better wrestler. And also, if you get him down, like, good luck holding him down. It's nearly impossible if you watch all his fight. So I think it's a coin flip of a fight if I ever saw one.
Really? You think it's a goal? Yeah. Wow. No, I what you said at first about Ferguson tools, man, that motherfucker is an elbow machine, number one. And I think that Justin's gonna run into one of those elbows. I just feel like he's gonna run into one of those elbows, man.
Too early.
Yeah, I don't know, but Tony starts getting crazy, and then when he gets touched, he might be in trouble.
Shane, this guy fought him though.
I know he fought Gate. I'm saying, but Ferguson's a fucking weirdo. You know he's a he is a no. Come on, you can tell.
No, I got what you said.
He does.
You don't win fights by being weird, though. I mean, come on. A lot of weird people out there. They're not fucking.
You know what I mean by weird? He does some shit. You go, what? What was that?
Then, did Gaethje hurt you or did he overwhelm you? It seemed like he overwhelmed you, right?
Yeah, I wasn't. When I was in it the whole time, he just hit me once and I fell, and the ref stopped it. But you know, he was taking over the fight, so. I would have kept fighting if they let me, but I don't think it was bad. I was kind of getting my ass kicked, so it's okay. It's all good.
Ask you, one of your fights I watched, an LFA fight, where you went behind the guy and did like a Kevin Randleman and Fedor toss on him, like fucking back suplex. How do you do that with one arm? I mean, how do you get that grip for real?
Working out.
Like this. I just grab my bicep and I hear clamps and hear pinches. So if I can get around you, if you're a skinny boy, I'm gonna suck you in and pinch my elbows.
Right.
And then I could go. It's not a complete souple if you watch it. It wasn't like clean. I don't know if I would have got 5 points. You'd have to rewatch it. But I definitely would have got. I think I would have got 3 points at least.
Yeah. No. I thought it was 5. I was wondering. I'm like, how the? Because I'm like thinking maybe your arm comes. Not around him, and like I'm like, how strong is his fucking right arm? But that makes sense. You actually gripped it, huh?
Yeah, I got behind him, and then he started like he was gonna give me a noogie or something. like toss his motherfucker.
By the way, I say that you're always telling me to roast you and make one arm jokes, and I do. I go right at Nick Newell's auctioning off. Never been
you. I never told you to roast me.
Yeah, you do. I go, hey, you always retweet the jokes I make about you. And then
I don't tell you to make them. I just retweet them.
The truth comes out.
In my mind, you told me to make them. All right. but other people get upset. They're like, you make fun of a guy with one arm. I'm like, this fucking guy's retweeting them. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, people get mad. Tell other people they get mad about things that they feel other people should be mad about. If that makes any sense. Like, people feel like I that. But, like, I get that it's a joke. I don't know. I'm kind of – I don't want to get too into it because I don't like to ostracize people with political feelings. I understand if people are upset with things, but I'm not the most PC guy ever. I make fun of all my friends all the time for all types of things, you know. And it's, like, it's just a joke. Like, it's your friends. It's a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I was like – Because I'll make a joke like, Newell has better hands.
If today, if you saw like your Puerto Rican friend and you were like, hey, happy Cinco de Mayo, and some people would be like, hey, man, that's racist, you know? But like your friend's like, oh, man, you're funny, you know? So it's a joke. It depends who you're saying.
It's on the individual. I'm not making fun of all people with one arm, just you.
Right. Yeah, just me.
So, right. All right.
Rights, as long as I can do everything that everyone else is and I'm allowed to do it, I don't really care what people say.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. It's like you're not even like probably the most capable human being with one arm ever. Like, this is not like this is a guy with one arm that will beat your fucking ass. Like, it's not like you're just making fun of some like little kid, like, haha, you don't have an arm. Like, no, like this guy can stand up for himself. It's
well, a
okay.
lot of the times the jokes are like, a lot of times they're misdirected jokes. Like,
you can say it because you're a comedian and you're funny sometimes. But but like if you so say that this is the way I look at one arm jokes. If you're like in a wheelchair, you could make fun of me for like my arm all day and you could say the most messed up things. You get a pass, right? Like if you have like cerebral palsy, you get like a pass. You know? And you could roast me on that all you want. Or if you're friends, that's it.
Right.
But anyone else, you can't say that shit.
Times I try to misdirect it. Well, I'll be like Nick Newell has better hands than Ben Askren. So yeah. It's more about fucking Ben Askren.
I want to ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. What is the best feeling you had fighting wise? Like, just out of all of the, what's the best thing you said, oh, this is the best out of everything? Like, were you like,
I mean, there probably comes down to two moments. When I won the XFC belt, it might not have been a huge deal to some people, but it was a humongous deal to me at the time. And to be honest with you, I saw that fight, and the guy I fought, Eric Reynolds, he just beat a jiu-jitsu world champion.
Wow.
And people were like, oh, you'll tap him out easy. People were telling me that, like, no, you'll get him. Like, you'll be able to beat him. You can tap him out. And I was like, I was like, yeah, I believe you. But I didn't, like, really truly believe it. You know, everyone wants to look at me like I'm this mental giant. But sometimes I have my moments, and sometimes I'm unstoppable. It just depends on the moment and stuff like that. And I grow every day with stuff and self-belief and self-realization. But I really, like, I was a big underdog in that fight. And when I beat him, it was big because I surprised myself how easy I was able to do it. And he was a very tough guy. And then the other one was my Bellator debut. Honestly, was great for me because one of my goals as a child was to fight in that arena. It was 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So, awesome. Like, the hotel was further than my house.
Yeah, but what bothered me about Bellator is, like, they weren't putting on the main card. I'm like, here's a dude that has a huge fan base, inspiring to so many people.
You're yeah, but I wouldn't. Like, I wouldn't sign with them. I wouldn't sign a deal with them. That's why. I just did the one fight deal. I did the one fight deal because the money they offered me was good, but it wasn't great, and I wanted to show my worth. So I asked them. I said, "Can I do one fight? I don't really care too much about the money," and they still took good care of me for someone doing a one fight deal. And I said, I want to show you guys my worth and win this fight and put on a show so you guys will sign me long term. And I mostly do most of my business with I have people that help me, but Rich, I have a good relationship with Rich, and I like Scott, but I mostly go to Rich, and he was like, yeah, that sounds fair, and they gave me that shot. So I wasn't technically signed with them, so okay. It wouldn't make sense for me to go.
That makes more sense, because I was like, dude, I was like, what? I'm only watching this card basically for you. No, I mean, no offense to the other guys in the card, but you were the person I was, like, looking forward to it. And then when you find a fourth fight deal, I'm like, that, of course. Like, it's just, I mean, you bring in a huge fan base. People love watching you fight. You're never really in boring fights. It's always interesting. And you're 15-3. So it's like
16-3.
So it's like, why would they not put you on? I mean, give me a break. That, you know, to me, you're one of the bankable stars. It actually pissed me off in the UFC on the Contender Series, because you took that fight on short notice, what, like a week or two, and they put you up against an all-American wrestler who was undefeated, who just held you down for three rounds. And I was like, you know, come on.
Yeah, I mean, really, Gagey's the only person to ever beat me up in a fight. That fight, Munoz hit me twice. He hit me with a cross that was pretty good, and an elbow that was pretty good. But that was it, the whole fight. But he was so strong. Like, he was like a brick wall, and he's really good. I think he has a bright future both on the feet and on the ground. He's very good, and I couldn't really do anything to him. So I felt like I lost that fight, even though I almost knocked him out with the kick, and the choke was tight. But, you know, they just gave me the hardest fight they could, because they just wanted to get rid of me. But I was like, when they gave it to me, I was like, that's what I want. I was like, you know, screw it. Like, I'll take this fight. Like, I don't care how good this guy is. I'm going to beat him, and I'm going to show everyone. And then I didn't, which sucks. But I had a good camp. I came in well prepared, and I was ready to fight him and to win that fight. It just wasn't my night.
Yeah, well, it's all right, man. I honestly think it's like, yeah, I mean, everything happens for a reason, and you're going to be bigger and better. Do they reschedule the Bellator fight?
No, not yet. I was actually, I did a Zoom. I had a Zoom meeting with Rich, the matchmaker, and we were just like having a chat and a few other people that fight. And we were talking about Virgil, the wrestler. It was like more like a joke. and then and just kind of picking his brain and like making some Olive Garden jokes and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys, but it's like he's funny. So, and then I just kind of casually talk to him. I know they're doing like, I think they're doing a soundstage thing. So I told him I'll be ready by like October. My wife's pregnant right now with our second kid. So I kind of want to have the child.
Yeah.
And kind of get used to, yeah, and get used to having two children. Because one is pretty hard with both our schedules because she's a speech pathologist and she works like all the time and I work all the time and we have to really juggle our schedules. We rely on her mom a lot to take care of our son, but I want to help make sure she gets adequated and we get in a good pattern, something that works before I take a fight. So October, November should be good for me to come back.
And final question. So I saw in college, you were roommates with a pro wrestler who lost 257 fights in a row. You couldn't help him out at all? Like, what's this guy's name? Who is the guy you were roommates with? And why did he lose 257 fights in a row?
Fights or matches? Or
matches. Wrestling? Matches.
Yeah, I don't know. They should have booked him better. I mean, he's a great guy. Brian Myers. He was Kurt Hawkins in the WWE. And he runs his own gym, Creative Pro Wrestling, and he does well, and he has a family. And he's a great guy, and obviously his gimmick was to lose, but then he ended up winning the tag team title, so it was good. I mean, to get in the WWE and be there for, like, over 10 years and yeah. win titles is pretty impressive. They must like you. So it would have been nice if he got more of a push, you know.
But at no point were you like, hey, man, can't you win one? I mean, 257 in a row?
Letting them make you lose?
One of my other training partners, current training partners, a guy, Tom Matera, he was Antonio Thomas in the WWE, and it was this tag team called the Heartthrobs, and they had like a Night at the Roxbury gimmick. And they lost awesome. Everything. They lost every single match. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, I have one guy right now. He's awesome. I love going to his shows. This guy's name's Wrecking Ball Ligursky. He's like a big guy. And he comes out and he screams and like everyone hits the walls and like around here he's like a big deal, like people really like him. But he's got to stop training at my gym if he wants to win these wrestling matches because I'm bad luck for the wrestlers.
Yeah, all the wrestlers that hang out with you lose. Like they never win, man. Like that's
So I gotta tell him like, man, maybe you should find another gym if you want to be a pro wrestler.
So Tyler's a brown belt. You're like a nerdy jiu-jitsu guy. Any questions for the great Nick Newell?
I actually had a question about – so I used to train – I didn't really used to train with him. I trained with him a couple times, but he was a family friend, Baxter Humby. Was that a guy like that you kind of looked up to growing up – not growing up, but coming up, starting your fight career? Or, I mean, do you even know who he is?
I've met Baxter before.
Oh, nice.
Before my first fight, I flew out to L.A. and I trained with him a little bit. I probably maybe got like 4 or 5 sessions in with him.
Yeah,
I didn't really know what I was doing back then. I was just like, oh, I want to fight, and I was more of a wrestler. But it was cool. I was like, I have to meet this guy because this guy kind of paved the way for people like me and limb different people. And I might be the first guy that's doing MMA, but. To me, like kickboxing is like, wow, this guy's amazing. He's a world champion, good, great kickboxer, and I look up to him, and I still look up to him. He's amazing, and now you have another guy. I did a Zoom meeting, and I was picking his brain and getting some technique from him. This guy, Jake Peacock, he's a one-handed fighter, and he fights for. Yeah, look him up.
Yeah.
He fights for Lion Fight, and He's 4-0 with 4 knockouts.
Wow.
And man, he's so fast and he's so quick. Me, I'm a good striker and I beat people. I'm not as dynamic as him though. I just kind of walk people down and just work off my jab, but he can switch stances, bam 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 bam, real quick, angles, everything. He's amazing and he's young too. He's only like 22 years old, so it's cool seeing the next generation kind of being that guy in the middle.
Right, Wean dog,
without any making any fisting jokes. Any questions for the great Nick Newell here.
No, man, there's a lot of respect towards you. You're a huge inspiration, and keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. Congratulations on you having another kid, and that's dope, man. That you got another kid on the way, and I hope everything works out, and it's safe and sound and everything.
So, Nick, where can people follow you?
At Notorious Newell. On Instagram and Twitter, it's the same handle, at Notorious Newell. You can just look up Notorious Nick Newell on Facebook and get me. I'm usually pretty responsive on the Instagram and Twitter stuff. I might switch my nickname to Murder Hornet, but I haven't made up my
mind. Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Please do that. Please do that. Well, so take care, man, and be safe.
See you, brother.
Peace.
Man, he's definitely, that's a good dude, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I think that when you see that, it makes me feel like anytime you want to bitch about things and you see how dedicated he is, and I'm like, man, I need to shut up.
Yeah. I have two arms, don't do half the shit he does with one arm.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. So it really makes you put things in perspective, man.
This guy's running a fucking gym. He's got two kids. He's running He's got a fight coming up. He's like training every day. He's mad that he can't train more. He's signing people up. He's teaching classes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I mean. It makes you go, you know what? I need to really start,
step my game up, man.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I was going to ask you guys because Adam was right. He said he's excited about the fight. He said, I'm going to move my Zoom show because I'm going to watch that fight. But like on the lineup, who do you got? Because, I mean, I already kind of went through it and went, oh, I already have everybody picked that I think is going to win. But I'm only excited about the main card.
I'm excited about Ngannou versus Rozenstruik. That's a fight that I'm looking forward to.
I just think Ngannou is one of the
– other dude can bang too, man.
He can bang, but Ngannou is on
some – I'm excited about Carla Esparza versus Karate Hottie. That's a good one.
Greg Hardy versus Jorgen De Castro.
Greg Hardy's always a fucking that guy. Either he like kicks you.
Always an entertaining fight. Yeah.
He's a favorite too.
Illegally, or he whips out an inhaler, or like it's like what weird thing is he gonna do this time?
Like, what's he gonna do next? That's weird.
Yeah. Like what illegal fucking and it's he already comes with so much baggage from the NFL. He got kicked out of the Cowboys for like allegedly beating up his girlfriend and all this other shit. So it's like he goes to the UFC. Everyone's mad at him, mad at Dana for signing this guy. Dana's like, we got to give him a second chance. And then he fucking kicks a guy when he's losing. The guy's coming back. He illegally pride kicks the guy in the head. And then he has an inhaler. And I didn't know, but he kind of cleared it. So it wasn't his fault. It was in Texas. It was
apparently it was cleared by the commission. They knew before.
Yeah. So it's almost like you're like, wonder if he's, you remember back in the day, the wrestler would like put grace, like that stuff in his mouth and spray it into the guy's face and blind him. Like I wonder if that's going to happen or if like the lights are going to go out and all of a sudden the other guy's going to be knocked out. And everyone's like, what the fuck just happened?
Come out with some sand in his hands.
He's gonna have like a manager that's gonna distract the person. He's gonna
hit Batman smoke balls.
Yeah. All of a sudden, yeah. It's like you wonder what weird shit's gonna go on this time.
Hey, I'd watch that.
Yeah,
I'd watch. You get one thing from Batman's utility belt to bring in the cage with you.
And yeah, then he's gonna have a far.
Yeah, let's go.
Like, remember the Killer Bees, the wrestling? They were but there was like six of them. They would roll in and out from underneath a ring, and there'd be like two other bees, and then this bee would come.
You never knew which one was actually in there.
That fight I'm not looking forward to. I just think, whatever. Karate Hottie, for sure. Yeah. I think Karate Hottie. I mean, if you're going to go that between the two, I'd pick her for sure because she really – other than I'm a fan of hers. And not people said, she's only popular because she's good looking. I'm like, no.
By the way, there's a huge feud going on right now with Curtis Blaydes and Pearl Gonzalez. Feud of the week. So Pearl Gonzalez is like this smoking hot chick that used to be in gangs in Chicago and then like got her life together. And she's on Instagram. She's always like half naked. She's got big fucking fake tits and beautiful girl, yada, yada. But kind of looks like that girl, like – kind of has like a Jenny from the Block thing. Like you could tell she's been around the block a little bit, but just, you know, sort of like, you know, like she's not like, she doesn't have that like Paige Van Zandt when first came out. She looks like the farmer's daughter thing. Like this girl looks like, so.
She'll fuck you.
So yeah, right?
She'll fuck you.
And then kick you out, right?
So yeah, exactly.
So Curtis Blades puts a post up like, you know, women's MMA, some of these girls are only where they are because of their fucking posting their ass and tits on the internet. And you can't tell me that Rachel Ostovich or Paige Van Zandt are worthy of skill level of being a main event fighter, right? And then someone says, what about Pearl Gonzalez? And he goes, oh, well, her too. Her striking hasn't evolved in 5 years, and she's only famous because she wiggles her tits and her ass on Instagram.
He's got a point.
Well, I have
– wow.
I have different thoughts about this. Number one, it's not as deep as the men's division, the women's division.
Right.
So you really can't compare the skill level of women's MMA to men's MMA. It's just a lot more, there's more college wrestlers coming out, there's more fighters, there's more this, that. It's less, you know? So you probably wouldn't have somebody with like a man equivalent to a Paige Van Zandt or Ostovich because they'd still maybe be in the LFA at that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's not as deep. It's not as deep. You know, you don't get women.
Yeah.
I mean, even Cynthia Cavillo, who we had on yesterday, started fighting at like 21, 22. Lauren Murphy started at 23, 24. And now they're ranked top 10 in the world, you know? Whereas that's not going to happen. Most men, 21-year-old men who walk into a gym for the first time are not going to be top 10 in the world by age 31. Unless they have like freakish power, like an Ngannou or something, or it's and they're in the heavyweight division, which may be the weakest division, or even 125. It's just not going to happen, right?
All right.
Let's start with that. The premise is off there because you can't equate it. Not right now, at least. I mean, yeah, you're going to have the Joanna Jędrzejczyks, and you're going to have the Zhang Wellies, and you're going to have
You're always going to have world class, like the world class world beaters, and then.
There's going to be a big drop.
It's going to
be a
big drop. Yeah.
All right. So that being said, all right, so the premise is off. But you have to understand also that, like, those women, they have a big fan base, and it is a business, you know?
Yeah.
So if Rachel Ostovich and also Paige Van Zandt, they make the sport kind of look good in a lot of ways because you have a beautiful – Ronda Rousey made the sport look amazing. You have a beautiful girl – on TV fighting, and people are like, whoa, wait, that's what fighters look like. And also Paige Van Zandt she was on Dancing with the Stars. She has the endorsements. She has the body armor shit. You know, Rachel Ostovich has the Hawaiian look thing going for her. So I understand it both. I understand where he's coming from, but it's not like right now, there's
at the end of the day, it's sports entertainment. It's not just a sport. Fighting is not just purely a sport. It's a sports entertainment. So, like, you're gonna have to have some of those fighters that they're not all gonna be Jose Aldo's and Conor McGregor's.
And they're not, but they're also not taking the place.
But they're bringing something else, and they're making money for the company. So it's like
they're also not taking the place of a million people that could be there.
Exactly.
They may be a couple people, some people, but. It's like, look, Sage Northcutt didn't deserve necessarily to be there based on his skill level. Right. And I think that was pretty evident when he got to the higher level. And CM Punk, I mean, if you're going to get mad at Rachel Ostovich or Paige Van Zandt.
Definitely be mad at CM Punk. What? Like,
oh, shit. I mean, that dude had never had an amateur fight.
Yeah.
At least Paige Van Zandt also has beaten Felice Herrig. She's beaten a decent amount of people.
Yeah, there was a time when Paige, like, it was looking like she was going to be climbing up to the upper echelons, and then, you know, she took a couple.
But, you know, so I understand what he's saying. I just think that there's, it's not like there's a million other people that they're taking the spot of.
Well, also, they're not taking his spot either. It's like, they're not going to be like, oh, okay, we're going to scrap this 115 women's fight for a heavyweight men's fight. Right. Like, it's never going to happen.
Right.
So if you think, like, they're taking your spot on the card, then you don't.
And also, but, I think that he's also wrong when he – because Pearl Gonzalez, I've actually been following her career, has gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
And she's also a girl that started, you know, she came out and her whole thing was like, look, I was in jail – and I read more books than you have. in jail, you with a college degree, right? That was her. And then he said, and then she said, you can't even complete a sentence or something. And he came back with, I have a speech impediment. Or it was like fucking, it got weird. But it was under like weird. No, but
what you're saying though, it's a false equivalency. You can't even really compare it. And like you said, there's way more male fighters. It's not even close. So to let in a few that are kind of hot and they can bang a little bit, you know, it's part of the business.
Yeah.
It's par for the course. I lean more towards the fighting side of it than the entertainment side of it. I like, that's the part I value.
As do I, but the fact remains, like,
but you still like somebody to talk shit too.
Multi-billion-dollar.
I mean, it's also unfortunately too. Like, I hate to say this because I'm looking like a hypocrite because I get so mad at Bellator for having like Ken Shamrock, Hoist Gracie, 37, and then burying like Nick Newell or fucking Darian Caldwell or whoever, right? Or Antonio McGee, who should be there. But you put like Ostovich versus Paige VanZant. First of all, the guys' wives are going to tune in. What are you watching? You know? And also, the next fighter's going to have more eyes on them too. Like, that's going to create more of a draw. So the Darren Elkins, who fights after him, the Darren Elkins Chaz Skelly fight is now going to get more people watching it.
More people to watch it, right? Whatever gets them in the door, and then you get to see real fighters. Not that women aren't real fighters.
Yeah.
You get to see some really good talent. That's the way. That's why when Conor McGregor first came out, I was like, "Is it a hype train or can this dude really bang?" And then when he backed it up, then I was like, "Oh shit, he can actually back it up." But a lot of people that talk shit, I mean, most of them, not all of them, they get housed. A lot of them get.
Yeah. I think at a certain level, like, you know, like Colby Covington, I think is a you know, I think the number two best fighter in the world right now, 170, behind Usman, right? Or maybe Masvidal, maybe three. Okay.
I'd say three.
It's maybe
right, but a lot of these guys, they don't get housed, but they talk shit. But there's only a certain point you could talk shit to. So when the number 20 guy, 15 guy, 10 guy, 7 guy, 6 guy, but then when they get to the number 1 guy, it's a different story. You know,
Colby Covington, all of that shitty talk, I saw so many memes about when his jaw broke, where they showed him getting his jaw broke. And if anything, I think it was a backlash. It was more like, dude, you talked all this shit. You said you were going to beat the shit out of him. And he kind of broke your jaw. He flat out.
But at the same time, first of all, that was an even fight going into the fifth.
It was an even fight, but then towards the end, though, I mean, he really was taking it. He was getting banged, man. Are you kidding me?
He was.
I had him winning the fight.
He didn't break his jaw, by the way.
But they said, no.
He thought he broke his jaw in the fight. He pulled his corner. Yeah.
All the memes are showing the picture.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty.
The people went in on him.
It wasn't broken
his jaw, but he was getting clocked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was getting clocked. And Usman, even though I don't really – I'm not a huge fan of his, but that motherfucker did bring it, and it was a close fight. He brought it, and towards the end is when you have to bring it. So when I see a fighter in the last round – go that hard, I go, that motherfucker got a different heart.
Richmond's
a gamer.
They both have an extreme heart. What's funny though was I was at the fight, right? And it was, Shane, you would have laughed at this. So they introduced Usman, everyone's like, you know, going crazy, and everyone's booing Colby, right? And the lights go down and you hear Colby. So, like, people were like, didn't want to be like, it was sort of like, as Colby supporters. But like, all of a sudden the lights went down and all these people were like, wait a minute, where the fuck? People were like, where the hell are these guys coming from?
But so you think Colby Covington, like when he comes back, that he's going to, I mean, I thought he was going to fight Masvidal.
He's going to give everyone problems. Including Usman, but Usman's wrestling is, he almost made the Olympic team, you know, he trained at the Olympic Center for 3 years. So, or 4 years, Usman is that good of a wrestler. So that's going to be a tough fight for Colby because they're so equally matched. But anybody that doesn't have that kind of wrestling is going to have a tough time with Colby because his work rate is so fucking amazing. It's on level 10, and people can't match the output. Like, I mean, Robbie Lawler.
People, exactly. After the Usman fight, people forgot what Colby did to Robbie Lawler.
Like, Robbie Lawler, Damian Maya, you know, these guys, I mean.
But this is not a prime Robbie Lawler. No, I disagree. That's a, it's not a prime Robbie Lawler.
He doesn't get tired. The guy could run 25.
No, if he'd have fought a younger Robbie Lawler, I just don't think it'd have been the same.
You mean like the Robbie Lawler that picked Ben Askren up over his head and threw him on the ground, beat the shit out of him?
Yeah, well, no, I know. I mean, but you know what I mean. Robbie Lawler.
It was the work rate. Dude, it was the work. Robbie Lawler's always been a great fighter, and he.
He's one of my favorites.
One of the best. I mean, the Rory McDonald fights were amazing.
Amazing.
But the work rate of Colby Covington is just going to give anyone problems. Because unless
he doesn't stop.
Even like about the Tyron Woodley, right? Woodley, who I love, a good friend of mine, and he's got a good shot of knocking anyone out. I mean, he could knock anyone the fuck out. But that's what's going to be very interesting because you have the work rate of Colby versus the power of Woodley, right? So what's gonna give, you know?
I think because I watched some of Tyron Woodley's past fights, it seems like he has that one punch oh shit power, like where you are watching it as a person watching it, you go oh shit, like and just like Usman has that wrestling where you watch his wrestling, you go, oh shit.
And also, it's which Tyron shows up. Is it the Tyron Woodley?
Hungry, angry, on it Tyron Woodley. I mean,
people still forget that Woodley knocked out a fucking guy from England. What's his name? Darren Till.
Darren Till.
I mean.
Oh, you choked him out.
Oh, yeah.
Dropped
him and then choked him out.
He dropped him first. It was dropped when dropped
him. People forget because Till looked so good against Gastelum. And Woodley did not look good against Usman. It's almost like they flip places in people's minds.
Right.
But when they fought, Woodley obliterated them, you know? I'm interested. So, yeah, my answer is Colby's going to give anyone problems because of his work rate. It just those kind of fighters give people problems. I mean.
But you know what else made Colby be on the map? All of that Trump supporter stuff, all of the.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's the show part.
But look at Clay Guida, right? Clay Guida, on paper, will never be have the same status as Nate Diaz, as RDA, and as other guys. But he beat them,
right?
Like because of the work rate, they couldn't keep up with him.
Styles man.
So. Colby, in some ways, is like a more skilled Clay Guida.
A little bit more. His striking's a little bit more. Right, I agree. That's a great way to put it.
It's like, I mean, Clay Guida has, I think he has a win over Pettis too, right? Doesn't Guida win over Pettis? Yeah. So, but like those guys will always, in everyone's mind, be ranked higher than Clay Guida, right? They're always going to be like.
Guida's not marketable.
Of course.
We also lost more fights and blah, blah, blah.
That's part of it, the marketing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's just the work rate. Anyway, this has been so much fun. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Say goodbye. Say bye.
Bye. Bye.
Say bye.
Oh, that's so good.
I love you. I love you.
You're the twins.
I love you. Take care, guys.
All right, man.
Hey, boys. Don't Түүний сонс тө хөвч юм дур булаа. Даа дэ стоотан дур булаа мөрөө.